You're hearing voices.
My name's Scott Carrier, and I live around the corner down there on G Street.
You don't live around the corner here. I know just about everybody that lives on this block.
No, I do. I live down there. I live down there.
Where do you say you live?
Around the corner down there.
Down where?
I live down on G Street down there.
Mapping the streets, sidewalks, and trees from America to the old Soviet Union. Today from Hearing Voices and NPR, Street Map.
I'm here today to tell a story, a twisted story of ghetto glory. Now, I know you heard of Romeo and Juliet, but I bet you ain't heard of Rome and Net-Net. See, the story's a bit different.
Stories from one city block and across the ocean. From Ice Life, Scott Carrier, Larry Massett, and Youth Radio. I'm Katie Davis with Street Map. You know how when you open a map and then you try to get it folded back up again and you never can? Well, I'm going to open the map anyway. From NPR, this is Hearing Voices, supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Katie Davis of Neighborhood Stories. Today's show, Street Map, stories about the people next door. Scott Carrier, he knows what I'm talking about.
That's my dog. He's okay. And these are tapes I made in my neighborhood. Some are sounds I recorded around my house. Some are things I taped off the radio. And others are interviews with my neighbors. I live at 474 G Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, and this program is my neighborhood scrapbook.
I think I should like to use those marvelous words written by Parley P. Pratt as something of a theme. The morning breaks, the shadows flee, lo, Zion's standard is unfurled. The dawning of a brighter day, majestic, rises on the world. The clouds of error disappear before the rays of truth divine. The glory bursting from afar, wide o'er the nations, soon will shine.
Okay, well, I would wonder what my house is like from somebody who comes in from the outside. And so I try to meet it that way a lot of the time. And when I meet it from the outside, I'm real puzzled by it. This isn't the house that I thought I was designing for myself, but it's the house that happened up around me. This table's gone through 17 moves. And the other things have long histories of their own that they came to me with already. Somehow I kind of guard and cherish those histories, too, and what they do to my imagination. My grandmother's chair and my ex-husband's godmother's couch. But I'm kind of a Bedouin, I think. You know, I have had 18 moves in 20 years. I know how to pack it up and leave within one night and set it up someplace else. So if something dies on the way, it gets, you know, buried properly and left behind. This is how I've dealt with the outside world. This is what I've gone out and tried to structure a reality, and this is where it is. Do you know what I mean?
In neighborhoods I've lived in from the time I was a kid up till now, have always been cold. There's a fence that separates that lot from that lot from that lot. And this separation, by virtue of symbols like fences and gates and private property and so on and so forth, or even dogs that'll bite you if you dare go into the area. All of this has emphasized what I call the isolation of individuals and families from each other. And this hasn't been improved at all. There is a feeling of stay away from us. You do your thing, we'll do our thing. Now, there are exceptions to that, for sure. But if you don't have a fence, if you don't have a closed-off area, you're in trouble. And I think that's one of the most distasteful signs of society degeneration.
What we really have is we have a brand new 50-year-old kitchen. I like this space here. I invented this. I always hated pulling out bowls, even though you can stack them from a cupboard. They're always awkward. So this is just an open square area. It's just open on the front side. You can put, I guess there's about 12 bowls all stacked in here. You don't have to lift them out of anything. You can just pull them straight out and pull the bowl that you want. And this cupboard over here, it's pretty nice. I had him put a little shelf here to put the waffle maker on, and I have a pasta maker in the basement, you know, a narrow shelf, and underneath you can put the toaster and the coffee grinder. It all will fit. And then over here, there's so many of the kitchens, they just don't have a place for something tall. I can put my whole Cuisinart in here without taking it apart. Because, like, when you start having to stack it, it takes about 5 times as much space. And then I have some tall vases and jars and things. And I don't know, what do you think? Do you like it?
Dad was funny. He wanted us to be pretty and dressed pretty and have our hair done pretty and have pretty shoes on, and he wanted my brother to be, a big he-man of a boy, you know. And it was funny. If he'd come home from work and we weren't just so, he'd have a fit and fall in it. So we were always just pretty. And clean. And, you know, I've wondered lots of times how in the world they ever kept people clean in this town. In the summer when it dries up, the dust just... And they didn't have... My mother used to wash on Monday with a great big boiler about this big. She'd put on a coal stove. And she'd dry it all and iron on Tuesday. And... Everybody had to have a bath Saturday night because we had to go to church Sunday morning spotless clean. And I mean spotless. And Dad'd see to it, too. I don't know. They were funny. You see, there's a storm coming in right there. Looks like it might be going toward Tooele, don't it?